You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hi, it's Malls. Reminder before the show to make sure that you are subscribed in Apple Podcasts. And if you're new, welcome to Please Advise Nation. Our show only works with your participation, so call 323-450-7408 with your dilemmas and life questions. Again, that's 323-450-7408 or email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com with your voice notes or emails. Thank you and enjoy.
Hey guys, it's episode 178 of Please Advise. So, this has never happened before, but we dropped our recorder halfway through recording this episode. So, well, no, it was like the first 20 minutes. So, you guys don't know who our guest is, and we don't, you know, you don't get to hear my bullshit update about my store. But the rest of the episode worked out okay. We have all of our calls and everything like that. So just so you know, our guest today is Bryce Sander. He works at ET. He has a big boy real job. He does online video content for them, and he has been doing it for a very, very long time. He'll talk about that a little bit more later on. But he's someone that I love and adore and only met one time so far. It was at the Countess Luann Countess and Friends live cabaret show, which I guess I'll have to catch you up on next time. That comes up. But here's the episode with Bryce. Christina and I apologize for what was my fuck up. It was my fuck up. I bent over to make the computer louder, and in the process, we dropped the recorder, and I fucked up.
Hi,
so
Molly.
Anyway, here's the episode. Bye.
I'm calling because I have this weird thing. So I dated a dude for like 6 years, and it was on and off the first 3 years, last 3 years. Lived together. I was in my early 20s. Like, we broke up when I was about to turn 22. So we were together from when I was like 15 until when I was 22. And we've been broken up now for a couple years. I've been living my own life. We are in contact every now and then. He'll just send me little texts. And I've been through a lot of traumatic bullshit in the last year. And so sometimes I go off on him during those texts, and sometimes everything will be fine, and you know, I try to like just try and like make everything okay because I miss my best friend, because we were best friends. And so lately, the last time we talked, it was good and we were trying to keep it casual, and every time that we try to like meet up, he flakes out because he's like the flakiest person in the world, and we never end up hanging out, and it really sucks for me because I really miss him and I really do want to see him, but I also don't want to put myself in any vulnerable situation. So I just, you know, like was trying to see what it was that he wanted, like why he was reaching out. And then, you know, nothing ever came out of it. I never asked to see him because I always do that. But now the last few weeks, we haven't really been texting or anything, but I can't stop thinking about him. And I'm not even, like, wanting to get back together. I just really, like, I miss him, and I want to see him, and I want to fuck him, but, you know, I'm also not fucking anyone else. So, yeah, I just don't really know what to do because I don't want to reach out to him again, but I do, but I'm holding back. And, yeah, I don't really know what to do.
I want to call them, like, Sierra and Ned, like Sid and Nancy, because I really, this is like a toxic relationship, yeah. Babe.
If he's not adding value to your life, which it doesn't sound like he is, what's the point of keeping him in that, in your life?
Here's the thing, though. It can get, I had a guy like this for like years. It was like 4 years of just like.
They just like get into we your were bones dating, or like.
But yeah, we were, and then like. But like he was controlling me like that, where it was like I felt like I had to pick up the fucking phone for him. And, but it exhausted me. It drained me. I had my roommate told me he couldn't come over anymore, but we weren't dating. But it was just like this succubus. But like also I loved it. And I think I wanted to be with him, and I had a hard time accepting that. And I also felt like when we weren't dating, his friendship was taken away. Mm. And that felt really like unfair to me. But in reality, this person, my life has only been better after, you know, the initial hardship. And so I feel like in a way.
Like how do you, it's like exercising a ghost. Like how do you get that out of your.
Time. And you know, the best way to do that, I don't know if you've seen great film, Jennifer Aniston, Vince Vaughn, The Breakup. That's, you know, someday you guys will see each other and it'll be NBD. But right. Like you have to fucking sell that apartment, that metaphorical apartment that we're talking about. And, you know, you have to like cut it off. You got to
block the
text.
Yeah, does she have to go like cold turkey and like doesn't talk to him at all?
You have to put in the work, I think, of like.
It's work.
Knowing that I can't pick up the phone. I can't text. Can't fuck him.
Yeah.
Like, you have to put in the work.
You know, if I were you, I would email or I would tell a friend his phone number and I would delete his contact from your phone and I would block him on email. And I would tell him that beforehand and just say, listen, I care about you. I want to cherish the parts of our relationship that are good. And I don't think we can do that whenever we hang out or whenever we talk. We're verbally accosting each other. Like, because that's, when you're doing that, it's because you're not directing your anger towards something positive or turning it around. You know, you can use anger in very powerful, good ways. But this is not one of them, my friend. Like, this is just, because another person's never going to, like, you're never going to be angry enough with a person that something beautiful comes out of it.
No. And you have to be. I think she needs some time just by herself, it sounds like, to figure out who she is, what she wants. Because I feel like she just keeps going back. It's comfortable. There's, you have this person that you know you can always go back to.
He's like fulfilling a need in her that she needs to like fulfill in herself, maybe. Yeah. Or,
well, also like if we're gonna go back to like other tenets and like things I believe in,
sleep
like
around war, and get like, it from
the war of art, like I feel has always been a very important book to me because it's all about resistance, which is about this natural thing that every single person has inside of them that's fighting against their best self. And like I think that you are fighting against your best self by keeping this person in your life. And I don't think it's as deep as like you're actively aware of this, you know, greatness that you could achieve but don't want to achieve it. I think that like it's your subconscious working overtime to keep you from really getting what you deserve in life. And that's very common. What did she say? She's 26 years old.
Yeah, she's young.
This is the time in your life where I feel like you start to really like, that was how old I was when I was in that relationship with that guy. And it was just a time in my life where I felt like I had enough time to burn and I didn't have to take life seriously enough, but it was like starting to feel serious. And I was just stuck with this thing that was keeping me torn between adulthood and like what felt like adolescence in a way. And so maybe you need to, you've spent 20 to 25 with this guy. These are now considered the last, you know, sprint of your adolescence. Then it's time to grow up and not lean on him. And you know that, you know, she knows that.
I think it's sometimes you just need to hear it to know it though.
oh, everyone knows everything we say. Like, yeah. I don't think we've ever really had given someone a breakthrough.
No. This is... And also, like, when I give advice on the show, sometimes I'm like, Christina, you're really talking to yourself.
Oh, me too. Oh, my God, of course. Well, that's what life is yeah. just reminders. That's what those fucking positivity, as dumb as they are, those, like, you know, girls rock. Like, get up and face the day. Like, all those, you know, hang in there. Like,
get out of bed.
Yeah, all yeah. those posters.
Just a simple.
They fucking work. And like,
it's going to make like a depression, like bar minimum, like a motivation, like, okay, sit up in your bed.
Yeah. And I don't understand why people, like when people hate on like vision boards and stuff like that, I'm like, if you get a pat on the back from a friend, it's the same thing, except on a bigger level. Like if that right. means something to you, then why can't, you know, just be like, you know, give yourself something to aspire to. And I think that part of that is like, you know, if you want positive love in your life, if you want good change, you have to make an action towards that. And that's a big thing in life. Like if you... you know, want to see, that's what the store was. I knew I needed to open up another part of my brain. And so I had to make a movement. And so I ordered too much clothes on the internet. I ordered a fucking auction palette. And then here I was with 8 boxes of clothing and I had to fucking move. And it's been 2 crazy weeks, but I feel like my creativity is better. My physical health is better. I feel more alert and awake. Christina, I was here awake downstairs cleaning when you got here. Yeah, I know. Because normally like Saturday mornings, I'll sleep till I'm like, Christina, leave me alone. I'm in my bed. I need like an hour of watching YouTube videos before I can even get out of bed in the morning. So to like, I will say like these positive changes have happened naturally because I took one small step.
Right.
And when you know, I like to think of like making a bigger picture chart sort of thing and write down the things that you want. And then to, you know, if one of the things you want in your life, focus in each area. If in your life, if you want a good, if you want love, for example, if you want a release, like write down what that really means to you. A partner that's patient, a partner that you can grow with, and write it in present tense. Like my partner and I have amazing communication. You know, my partner and I have a beautiful, a beautiful love that others admire, you know, and write that down on a piece of paper and then make a move towards it, whether that's signing up for Tinder, whether it's telling this ex-boyfriend in your life that you can't carry on with this relationship and you'd rather be able to smile when you see him at a party in 10 years than like burn your life down over it, you know, honor that relationship. And it's like very like hippy dippy stuff, but it has in my life worked for me.
Yeah, it's weird. Sometimes we expect things to get better with just time, forgetting that the time is actually like the time you put into doing work to get better.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just like passively just waiting for things to
you'll feel terrible
2 years later on. It's still going to hurt if you're not doing the work to get over it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to what you said is like you really have to do work. It's hard work. Yeah. Emotional work is really hard work.
It's the hardest work.
Yeah.
So action items for Sierra. Write down.
Ooh, I love this.
What you want in a partner.
Yeah.
And then I think also channel the energy you would give to him into something that makes you feel good.
Right.
So whatever your hobbies are, whatever you love to do, every time you're thinking, oh, I want to call him, go do the thing that makes you feel good instead.
Yeah, make those action items for every area of your life, your health, your work, your whatever, and put them all into play and you'll see things pay off really quickly. And I think I don't want to say I hit the nail on the head, but I think that you are in a place of resistance with him, that he's a tool that you use to keep yourself back. If you disagree, call us back, 323-450-7408, because maybe we all totally missed that. But I think that this just sounds – I've been in something that sounds like that, and I know it was important, you know, for I learned. I know now what your problem is because I saw I had to learn. But, yeah, it was like a distraction. It was a total stunt in my development in a way. And then I started my return of Saturn. So anyway, girl, get busy before your return of Saturn comes up because that's a big deal.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take another call, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, Moz, Christina, guests, please advise nation, wags. This is Ashley. I'm calling from Baltimore, 34, and I have a kind of a serious adult question, and it is about buying my first house. Miles, I know that you've been in your house now a couple of years, and I have been debating on home ownership now for a while, and I have decided to buy my first home here in Baltimore. And so the first thing that I did was start to work with a broker to pull my credit, do all that type of thing, to which I learned my credit was lower than what I thought. And so I'm working on pulling all of that up. And I think that in the spring I should be able to buy. But what I've run into is not exactly knowing like what to look for, you know, in buying a house. Like, what should I know? What are any pitfalls? So that is why I'm calling you guys today. So any advice you have on first-time home ownership? It is just me and my dog, and I work from home. So thanks so much. Bye.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's a great, exciting thing.
That's a big adult step.
And I love that it's just you and a dog. It's very nice.
Yeah. Also good to know that you work from home, because that's a consideration you take in terms of like your work, separating your work. You don't want your bedroom to be your workspace.
No. No. Unless you want it to be.
I mean, I guess, but.
Yeah, I mean, no, I first of all, you got to write off the biggest room in the house. If I were you, I stuck my office in the biggest room of the house. And I do have a CPA, so don't try and bust me on some shit. You know, this is it's a huge decision, and it's a lot of work to own a house. Like, it never ends. Everything costs $5,000. Mm-hmm. Everything that you need fixed costs that much. And that's, for some reason, the number that everything is. And, you know, just to keep that in mind in terms of what you'll be looking at and also buying.
Yeah, you still have to pay someone. It's just a bank, and the bank doesn't fix stuff when it's broken.
No.
And I don't know what you're looking at. I had to do a lot of renovation. My place was pretty much, I mean, there was walls everywhere that aren't here anymore. It was basically unlivable and been lived in for 21 years by a bachelor. And he was a hoarder. So, it's almost the same thing, as me. The one thing I would say to you is you'll know when you know, and there are people involved, like geotechs, and, you know, there's people involved that before you buy the house, they come and inspect it. It's a legal thing. Everyone has to do it. It's what kind of defines the set rate of your house, sort of. It's what really brings it down. I was able to get some money back because there were things that I was going to have to fix that the owner of the house didn't.
Yeah. Plumbing stuff. Yeah.
Even if it's just, you know, in the greater scheme of a house, this doesn't sound like a lot of money, but if it's $5,000-$10,000, that's a big fucking deal. And that goes into everything. And it is a lot. There's, you know, like jungle maintenance. That's what it is in my house. I have so much. I'm not managing a yard. I'm managing a fucking jungle here. Yeah. There's things that you are gonna, that you don't always think about, that maybe your parents did and you didn't know were being done, or your friend, or whoever, wherever you were living before, your landlord, you might not realize that they were doing it. Yeah. So just be cognizant of that. And I have, you know, I've noticed that it's a big change from renter's mentality to homeowner's mentality. Cause when you're a renter and something breaks, like, fuck it. Like, I'll get around to it. But like, if something goes wrong here, I have someone out immediately.
Yeah, it fully falls on you. And I think you can, I mean, I've never bought a house, but I know people who have. You can roll stuff into your mortgage. So if there's things you want to improve in the house, you can pay. It might sound like a big price tag right away, but you're paying for it over 30 years or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would also recommend, if you do any sort of renovation, to skip Home Depot, like their department, because they very, very much overcharge on supplies and everything else. If you've seen pictures of my bathroom, I have a very custom orange tile, subway tile bathroom. And I had to hunt those tiles down myself from Canada and get them shipped out here. But if I had gone through Home Depot for any of that, it would have been so much more pricey. And so I would avoid some of those typical homeowner packages that they set you up with, because they look the same, and you know it when you see it, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't know. Congratulations. I'm excited for you. Make sure that you have, you know, I'm not sponsored by them, but I have one, a ring.com thing at the very least, so that you kind of, you know, I know that Nest has the best.
My friend has a Nest doorbell ringer that is also a camera, and it's like, it alerts you to, you know, who's at your door, you don't have to like look in the people, you know, just if you're gonna live alone, like, and you're gonna own a place.
And Nest has really good carbon monoxide and smoke detectors, and that they look chic. They make a very palatable noise compared to, I would say, most. You get a 3-tier warning if there's smoke in the house. If you're cooking bacon, you can like fix things really quick.
Bryce, do you have anything to add?
No, I think just make sure it's a big commitment. So make sure it's a place that feels like home, and that you, I think, yeah, have a different space for your work within the house that's designated. That's work. So you can go to work every day, but also leave work at work, even if it's just one room over.
If you were to buy a house, where would it be?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I live in Studio City, and I love Studio City.
I live near Studio City as well.
Oh, hey, neighbor. Yeah. So, I mean, my boyfriend and I, we look at listings all the time because we're kind of getting almost to the place where it's time. So we kind of stay in the Studio City area.
I kind of like Studio City for you.
I like Studio City. It's walkable. Yeah, I don't get in my car on the weekends.
I think it's way better than like a Silver Lake or anything.
It's a little too glossy for me. Like, I kind of want a little bit of a Silver Lake-y like vibe.
You like a little grit.
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. Just because I'm a city girl.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a little like, yeah,
so
shiny
I'm a suburban
valley.
Kid.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm like, yeah. Look at this shiny suburb.
I'm so happy with Glendale. I feel the schools are great. Actually the other day I had a meeting and the guy was like, oh, that hospital like right by you, like that's my daughter was born there. He's like,
I heard
love
great
it.
Things about that hospital.
That's a really good, and it's like, I was telling him, I was like, this summer I thought I was having a heart attack. And I was like, do I drive or walk to the hospital if you're having a heart attack? I was like, I'm not calling an ambulance to go one block. Yeah. And he was like, were you having a panic attack? I was like, yes. And I was a little stoned. Like, it was definitely that. But I've thought about that hospital a lot.
I've thought about that hospital just because I know you'd be close to me. So I'd be like, ooh, Molly can just visit
me. Oh,
really
yeah. I'll come visit you at the hospital.
If you need anything done, you're like, can I get it at that hospital? Yeah.
I'll sneak Wags in, who, by the way, is adorably shoving his nose in a folder in my sweatpants to keep it
He's
warm.
He's being so good today. He was in such a good mood when he greeted me.
Yeah. Are you happy, buddy?
He's just like lulling into
Dude,
sleep.
I've never seen... I mean, he's just really tucked in there keeping that nose warm.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take one more call. Again, congratulations. I don't know. This feels like a really fucking adult question for us.
Yeah. I know. We actually... This was the second house buying question that we had gotten.
Can we get a 58-year-old man in the mix? Like, we... like,
can I phone my mom to give you some advice?
Literally, I don't know. I bought my house very uniquely, and
I think everybody's experience is also different. It's one of those things where it's like nobody has the same home buying
also
experience.
Like the housing market is different
everywhere.
House is
even neighborhood
too.
To neighborhood.
I was thinking to myself during your call, I was like, maybe I should buy a house in Baltimore. Like, I feel like I could do okay in Baltimore.
Her name was
like,
Ashley, right?
Money doesn't get you
we're all
far
moving in with
LA.
You Ashley.
Yeah, money does not get you very far in LA at all. All right, let's take our next call. Congratulations again.
Thanks.
We should send her flowers or something.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Hi, Malls, Christina, Wags, and Guest. My name is Natalie, and I'm a big fan of the pod and also a nacho expert. So I currently have a new job, but I just wanted to talk to you about something that happened at my old job and see what your advice would have been. So I work in New York City as a graphic designer, and my office was on a 16-floor building that had multiple companies on each floor, but the bathroom was in the hallway. So basically, if you had a key to that bathroom, you could also use it on any other bathroom on any floor. So when I started my job, people told me about a person that they called the shredder, which was basically a person, no one knew who it was, that would use a bathroom on our floor and just shred toilet paper and kind of leave it everywhere like a little human hamster. So when I was working there, things kind of escalated a bit over a couple of months, and it was definitely around like more stressful times of the year. Somebody was draping toilet paper all over the toilets. They would drape multiple seat covers around the back of the toilets where the flushers are. They would leave used pads on the floor. There was like, they weren't flushing. There was shit left everywhere, blood smeared on the walls, like things like that. Basically kind of any gross thing you could imagine in a bathroom, like we saw it. So around the holidays, things kind of changed a little bit, and they started making paper bows out of the toilet paper, which seemed so much more fucked up, but also, like, festive. So they started leaving those, and they would literally, like, shit, leave it there, and then delicately place bows all around the stall, like on the seat, on the flusher, like things like that. So I told my parents, I was like, gross but funny, and they were basically like, you need to tell HR because this is like a disturbed individual, and basically if they saw you doing this, they if they saw you while they were doing this and you caught them, they might attack you because they're worried about losing their job or something like that. They could have also like contaminated other things in the bathroom. And I had already started using a different floor's bathroom so I could avoid the shit that was everywhere. But basically, I told HR, and they were like, we haven't heard about any of this from the building. So, and the building was like, no, we haven't had any issues. So they were, like, blatantly lying about it. So some people thought it was, like, the people cleaning it that were shitting everywhere. But I was like, why would you do that and then have to clean it up yourself? And it also couldn't have been a homeless person because you needed to, like, have a key. So it had to have been somebody that worked there. But basically, to prove it to HR, I then every day had to go into this bathroom and take pictures of literal shit that then I had to send to HR and be like, here's the new picture of the day. Here's this other one. This was around this time. So luckily I'm at a new job now, but I don't think it was ever resolved. So I just was wondering what you would have done in the situation and your thoughts about it.
Oh, I'm so glad you have a new job. What a hostile work environment.
Here's the thing. When I heard this call this morning as I was like logging the calls for the day. No, because I posted a clip of the call onto the Please Advise account because I'm like, we're recording. How crazy is this call? And the woman who submitted it like started DMing me.
No. Did she send you photos?
Yes, I have pictures.
She's a nacho expert. Do you know what that means, right? She listens to the Lifetime podcast. Okay.
So she started sending me like pictures of safe for work-ish pictures of the like bow.
I mean, none of this sounds safe for work. Oh, so that's the bow.
Those are the bows.
Hold on. I have bad eyes. I can't see.
Okay. Anything. Sorry, they are everywhere.
Oh.
Those okay, are the bows.
That's not, the bows are not offensive. No. She sent actual fecal matter to you?
No. I think she was really kind and not doing that. But it, she's just like showing me like all the paper being shredded everywhere.
God. So okay. I think HR, whoever works in HR was doing this. And that's why it was never.
It's quite obvious.
What an issue that was resolved. Power move, though. It's like, oh. I guess you can't really get fucked with if you're an HR person.
If you are the HR person.
When a human plays with feces, there's a few things that is typically from. And to me, it's up there with certain forms of assault. It is a form of assault to put fecal matter in places. I mean, there's a code around it. I'm sorry. There's a code around it, which is that you shit in the toilet and that's where it stays.
Yeah.
Unless, God forbid, you have some terrible accident. Unless this person was shitting themselves every day, there should never be a reason.
I mean,
that shit is outside of the toilet.
I thought I had like a horror story in like one of my old workplaces.
Right.
Cause like I saw things where like
they were cleanly.
People were smearing like, I don't know, there are tampons on the wall or something like that.
Some people can be very, very messy about things.
Yeah.
But that, you know, that's like there's no reason. If
and
God
like,
forbid,
the toilet
there's
seats had like cuts on them. So I think like people were doing cocaine or something.
Oh, the tops of the toilet
seat.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right.
It was wild.
That sounds right, actually. Yeah. Ooh, that's so dark. Because like you worked in like a newsroom.
I
so
know.
It's like
that's
I can
super
both
dark.
See there being lots of coke around and I can also see there like that being just so fucking unacceptable.
Yeah.
I mean, it must have been. I just want to be clear,
this is an old job that I had.
Yeah, it must have been the 80s or 90s when those toilets were put in, honey.
I know. I don't want to think about it.
But yeah, this is like the move of like, I mean, I don't want to throw any like big words around, but like, you know, someone who someone that gets off on making people uncomfortable.
Would you
yeah.
like it's be someone, the one to be like, I'm going to take pictures and report to HR? Or would you just be like, just going to use the different bathroom on the third
yeah,
floor?
I would just, I'm not using
the
bathroom.
I would walk into the room and I would walk into the main office and say to everyone, yo, Do you realize that there's a fucking sociopath in our midst? Like, there's someone who is doing something to make everyone uncomfortable, and they either don't care or they get off on it and they think it's a little game. Like, that to me is like, we're steps away from taking trophies from the women you attack on the street, in my mind. Mm-hmm. Because when you are putting people in danger like that, because it is, it's danger. It's, yeah. It's a septic issue. There's like, it's biohazard yeah. shit. When you do that, you're doing it intentionally. There's no adult who has a real job who doesn't know that. So this is like, I would call the fucking police, honestly. I really would. At this point, I would have called the police.
She said, at one point, I really couldn't. She just sent me another message. At one point, I really couldn't figure out who was doing it. And I was like, is there any chance I'm blacking out in doing this? But I tried to tie a TP boat and it was impossible. So it definitely wasn't me.
Wow. So it was like mental warfare too.
Yeah.
She thought she was doing it.
That's wow. That's what I don't.
I love this weird call. Please more weird calls
it's
like this.
So weird.
I mean, I feel I'm so glad that you're out of there. Yeah. But I honestly do think like this is a case for Olivia Benson. Like, you have to call in
special victims
Ice-T and Benson at this point, because there is something oddly sexual about it. It's like violating your privates. Like, it's like, oh, you want to maybe sit on this like shit covered toilet seat? Well, like, good luck, motherfucker. You work here and can't do anything about it.
Yeah,
that's some like Joker shit. That's like literally what Joaquin Phoenix's Joker character is doing probably in this entire movie. Is it's mostly just shit pranks in offices. It's sick. It's really sick. I'm disgusted.
I'm forever changed after this call. Like, that, could you imagine every time you're, because when you have to go to the bathroom at work, you have to go to the bathroom. Like, nobody yeah. is excited to
as
use
a man. I'm sure you've seen some shit
yeah
in bathrooms.
Yeah, but it's like, that is a space that it's like you want to get in and out of there as soon as possible. You're trapped in there because you're having to navigate this whole bizarre like nightmare amusement park somebody set up for you.
Yeah, I was working temporarily in this like place. It was like temp work, and this woman would eat so much that I stopped eating because I was grossed out. Like, literally, like, would take a tub of fat-free Cool Whip to her desk and eat it like fucking cereal. And it repulsed me. It really sent shivers. I couldn't see another laughing cow cheese go down another woman's throat ever again in my life, because it was just so much. It was the volume, and it started to feel violent and like an attack.
I've also had like awkward office bathroom situations. Like, one of the transcribing gigs that we had, like, the bathroom was essentially like in the back corner, but like you could hear everything that was happening in the bathroom.
Oh.
Yeah, that's awful. Terrible. That's like, I remember going to a boyfriend's like family house for the first time, and I was like, where's the restroom? And they were like, right there. And it was like, literally, like, if the bathroom was Bryce, sorry, to do, or the bathroom was the Christmas tree, let's okay. do that. So, like, the whole family's sitting there, and that's the bathroom. And I just had to pee, but I was like, is there another one? And like, I just started dating this guy.
I have a relative, and I'm not going to name who it is, who, like, on the first time he was meeting his girlfriend's family, used the bathroom and clogged the toilet, and he needed to like plunge, and the plunger wasn't in the bathroom.
No!
So he tried to tell his girlfriend, like, hey, like, there's a situation here, and she didn't know where the plunger was either. And so it ended, she's like, Mom, where's the plunger? He clogged up the toilet. And it, like, eventually, like, everyone in the house was just saying, like, hey, get this person as the plunger.
Were they doing it a little bit to embarrass him? Or do you think that it must have been just so routine? Because, like, if you clog a toilet, like, that must – sometimes – I assume usually when a toilet is clogged that there's general issues once in a while.
Right. Yeah, more often than not, I'm inclined to lean that way. But
They were laying it on thick.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, my God. What was – I had another thing. Oh. Do you remember Newlyweds, like on mm-hmm. the episode of Newlyweds where they go to Jessica's grandparents' house for Thanksgiving?
Vaguely.
Okay, so the downstairs toilet gets clogged. No, it's Christmas. And the downstairs toilet gets clogged. And there's some uncle that's just chasing Nick around the house being like, you clog my toilet, boy. And like, oh, it's like clearly a joke.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm like, at that point, I would be like, Jessica, I'm sorry. I got to go to a Days Inn. Yeah. Like, I can't. Like, because like that would be my nightmare, to be ran around a party in front of my wife's family or my husband's family in this case and be like, you clog that toilet. Like, I don't know. It was bad. Classic to me. Let's take one more phone caller. Do we have a letter?
We have a letter that I'm going to read.
Bryce, do you want to read our letter?
Oh, okay.
Sure, I can.
Yeah. He's a professional. He's a professional
voice on
reading person. Do you use a teleprompter ever?
Yeah.
How's that go?
Once you learn how it works, it's easy to do.
Oh my God, I find it fascinating.
But it's like, it is, you have to train your eyes because you can get this glazed over look.
Oh yeah.
So it's like, there's a lot of, I think people don't realize how much work goes into making yourself look normal on camera.
Oh, I think so much work goes in.
There's the movie Broadcast News.
Yes.
Where, oh God, what is the actor's name? It's not William Hunt. It's, he did Defending Your Life. He did. He does a lot of comedies. Sorry. But anyway,
there's a guy.
The whole thing is like he's a really great field reporter, but then he has to anchor and he has such a hard time doing it. It's kind of amazing. That movie is a really good display of how like you think an anchor is just kind of like a meat puppet who might like read a teleprompter. But there's a lot that goes into to be able to do those skills and to do them well while someone's talking in your ear, yes, while you're reading this thing that you've never read before
and being
for the first time.
People want to bring into their homes, yes, every day.
Especially if like, oh, what if you have like a car chase that you're trying to like vamp for? There's right. people who have that really great skill set. And so like, I don't know. I love Broadcast News as a movie. Holly Hunter is really great in it.
Love her.
So another action item from this podcast, yeah, go watch Broadcast News.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I always have thought that would be my biggest fear if I became suddenly famous, is if I had to read a teleprompter at an award show.
Oh.
That's how I figured out Kendall
Albert
Jenner
Brooks.
Is dyslexic.
That's the name of the actor.
Albert Brooks.
So my theory about Kendall Jenner being dyslexic was born from me watching her read a teleprompter, then going back and watching an old vlog of her and Kylie had to read all the questions because Kendall was having a hard time.
Oh.
And then I read Caitlin's book, and Caitlin didn't read her own audiobook because she has dyslexia. And it made me realize Kendall Jenner, who probably left high school, I think, at 16.
Right.
Probably was never formally diagnosed with dyslexia, which I say that as a person with dyslexia, game recognized game, that bitch has dyslexia for sure. And it's okay, Kendall. Yeah. It's okay. All right, let's read our letter.
Read the letter. Hey, Malls, Wags, Christina, etc. I'm etc. This isn't necessarily a question, just something I've been feeling lately and I'm not ready to say out loud yet. Long story short, I took a job out of college that was related to my dream job in hopes that it would eventually lead me to the dream. Flash forward 8 years, I've just turned 30, and I'm still doing the same shit. I've been promoted numerous times, and I've gotten to move around the country as I've pleased while on this path. I'm really fucking good at what I do and sound like such a dick because most people don't get the opportunities that I have had. But it isn't where my passions lie. I know I'm still young and there's still plenty of time to change things up, but the thought of leaving something that I excel at and know I can make a future of is terrifying. Love y'all and everything you do on the pod, Chelsea. All right, Chelsea.
Chelsea, you know, there was like a, I think like it was, sorry. I think it was like about 6 years back. Maybe more, probably to eight now. There was a woman who I can think we all kind of knew, like a lot of people who work in, you know, TV and stuff like that, digital. We all knew her as like this executive at a big studio, and she quit one day to do nails. And she went to nail school, and now she runs, you know, she does nails. She realized at like, you know, 30 years old, I'm not gonna get better at doing a job I don't really want to do. My passion has always been this.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do it. And I think that's so fucking baller to just make a 180 at a certain point in your life. And, you know, now that you've seen a world adjacent to the one that you've wanted and you've really, that happens a lot. You get your dream and it's not what you wanted.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You know, it's okay. Like,
it's weird to like be expected to know what you're going to do for the rest of your life at 18.
Right.
It's really, really, really weird. I mean, I think even at 30, what I wanted was different than what I wanted at 25, you know?
Yeah, and especially as you get to learn the industry, you realize you like new parts of it that didn't occur to you because it wasn't in your college course.
Or didn't exist. Like, podcasting wasn't a thing when I was in college. It wasn't, you know...
It was a brand new medium at best, and there was barely monetization. Like, you know, This American Life... fucking begging for server space.
Right, but even This American Life is actually like a public radio show.
Like, I'm saying, but like it was still thinking, so new that even an established radio show could barely afford. We live in a world, we thankfully on this show, we don't even pay for server space because we work with Acast and they host us.
Yep.
But there's like, you know, this industry amongst many others has made huge strides. So I can absolutely imagine starting out in one thing and seeing, okay, this world isn't what. I mean, what if she works in like print magazine? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hate the question of like, what do you want to do in 5 years or where do you see yourself in 5 years? Because I'm like, I don't know what this industry looks like in five years.
I don't know if I'm going to be alive in 5 years.
Oh, correct. I always say that. I always say that. Like when my mom wants to talk about her will, I'm like, Shauna, I might not be alive yet. Like, let's not spend our Sunday afternoon doing this. Yeah. Like, you know?
My parents, I think it was last Christmas, they were like, we're leaving, saying goodbye. And they just hand us...
The will.
Me and my boyfriend, like, here's the will, so you have it. I was like, okay, morbid end to this.
Yeah, I'm not interested. I don't want to know. I mean, like, great. I'm glad that you've planned.
I have it, yeah.
But how did you land on your path?
I always knew I wanted to go into entertainment news, but I went to college and did, like, traditional news because there's not really, like, an educational path for entertainment news.
No.
Yeah.
But confirmed that I didn't want to work in local news because I did. Part of what I did in school was you work at the local NBC station and you do everything. So you produce, you report, you anchor. So I got to see all of that and I was like,
Can I ask, aren't those very underpaid jobs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know that. Yeah.
Start out like,
and they work so hard.
Grand a year. You're living in the middle of nowhere. You're stuck there for 2 to 3 years. You know nobody and you are working the longest days of your life.
Oh, shitty hours. Yeah. It's like, then they're usually the hardest working people in the newsroom.
Oh, yeah. And then it's like every 3 years you're picking up your life and moving in hopes that one day you're going to land somewhere that you actually want to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For some, like my friends are just kind of getting to that point who all went into traditional news of they're like finally landing in markets where it's like, oh, I can stay here and have a life here.
Mm-hmm. Or it's like they become field reporters in a big, I've seen a lot of people become field reporters in Los Angeles and they're like, oh, I want to make the transition to anchoring. Mm-hmm. And they have to go back to like the small.
They had to move. Yeah, back to the middle of the country.
Fresno,
right.
Or like, either go to Fresno or something like that.
So, yeah.
What's the worst? Red carpet's the worst, though, right?
Do you like doing red carpets?
I like doing it all because it's fun and it's like so much of my job is so like content creation heavy that it's nice to get out and do stuff. Red carpets are tricky because you have to be prepared for anything and you're talking to like 70 people.
Yeah.
68 of which you... don't care about or don't know.
I think the interesting thing that people never think about when it comes to red carpets is like you have to manage like interviewing one person while also keeping your eye on the door of like who's coming
and
down.
Knowing that I have to get all my questions in with this person I'm talking to, but that person who's coming up is more important, so I have to get them out as fast as possible and move them along, and like you have to negotiate which questions are the most important and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, back to how I got to where I am. Did local news, then worked at a video startup that we made videos for bigger clients. So like I worked on an account for Huffington Post and AOL where we made videos as if we were them, but we were in the middle of Missouri.
Yeah. You were?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When we first started following each other, I was in the middle of Missouri, Columbia, Missouri. Then I didn't want to live in Missouri anymore. And I went and...
Why?
I just was... I had been there for 6 years, you know?
You cut me coughing out, right?
Yeah.
And... then I started freelancing at BuzzFeed because I quit my job and I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I started writing for free at BuzzFeed. And then they hired me as a freelance. And then they gave me a position in the office. I moved to New York. And then like a few months into that, I got an opportunity out here in LA to come work at Entertainment Tonight. And I just picked up and moved and been there ever since.
Yeah, so you're a little bit different because you knew when you, like what you wanted to do.
Right. Mm. But it's what I want to do, but it's not what I thought it would be.
Oh. Okay.
You know? Like, there's so much involved in everything that you're like, oh, I mean, I enjoy all parts of it, but it's, I think people forget that no matter what, work is work. It's a four-letter word. a job's a job, whether you're passionate about it or not. It's sure. still, you. There are days I wake up and I'm like, I am not motivated to go do anything.
Yeah, yeah. Or, yeah. My ears are tired. That's like
yeah.
my thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. But it's, yeah, it's like, yeah, I get to have fun and talk to cool people and learn about other people's lives. And I'm not curing cancer or anything. I'm talking to housewives all day. But
who's your favorite housewife to interview?
I love Tamara from OC.
Really?
Yeah. She's cool.
Have you got to talk to Ramona?
Oh, yes. Ramona, it was like, I got the call. It was like, Ramona can beat you in an hour. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so not prepared to do an interview that day, because it's like, not every day am I interviewing somebody. Mm-hmm. So I like scrambled to get stuff together. And then she came in and she was just, they're all exactly who you think they're going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I met Jill Zarin, and she was Jill Zarin. Like, she was exactly, I mean, I couldn't have imagined her being any different. She was just Jill Zarin.
I'm excited. I think she's back on New York this next season.
And, you know, yeah, she's a, she, I really do, my theory is that she witnessed Andy and Bethany kill someone, because I don't know how the fuck she has gotten back on their show for years. They have publicly roasted her for even thinking she has a chance of being back on their show. And now they're like, yeah, all right. You know,
I think the loss of Bobby helped to humanize her again. Because yeah, I think she had been so villainized.
Don't you use my Bobby Zarin like that. Bobby Zarin changed the way I look at love. And I resent that he's been used.
I will say Jill is the one who called up the
cameras.
Called up the producers and said, if you guys want to film this, I'm okay with it.
Things get so nasty at those reunions. That's just, they reveal all.
That's like my dream. I just want to go to a reunion taping one day and see the behind the
Do
scenes.
Do you know what I think heaven is? Is getting to go and watch all the unaired footage of every Real Housewives show, just the live footage.
You know, one of my favorite episodes ever, like, of television is, there's
the, like, refrigerator filled with different LaCroix that just keeps, like, refilling the LaCroix.
Yeah.
I call
it LaCroix still. Yeah, fuck everyone.
Real Housewives of Orange County special from like season 8, and it's like how it was made. And there's like, they show all this unseen footage of like Heather Dubrow hiding behind producers because she didn't want to be involved in the scene that they were filming. And she's like, you can't use this if I'm back here. I was like, I want to see this part of it.
Yeah.
But then
yeah.
some of the magic is
that
gone.
Was Ariana in season 1 of Vanderpump.
Oh, yeah.
She was like, I wanted nothing to do with it. By the way, you guys, seltzer wreck, because you brought this up, Waterloo, my friend Leah Shelton from Austin emailed me or texted me about it the other day. She's a good girl. You got to get on Waterloo. So
I want to try it when we get a break between episodes.
I have a mango one that's okay. Really good, and she doesn't even like the mango, and I think it's bomb. But you know what's really good? Apparently the lemon they get right. She's like, you know, a seltzer is good when they get lemon right, because it tastes so chemically.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were about. I saw like you had your.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out, like, getting back to the letter, like, she wants to know, essentially, like, she's asking for permission to, like, leave what she's doing to pursue.
Girl, do that 180.
Yeah, if you know there's something else you want to
go. It's only going to get harder the older you get. Right. Like,
do that chic 180.
I mean, don't leave if you don't have an idea of what you want to go do. But if you have an idea of, like, I want to go try this,
have
try
6 months worth of savings. If you can do that. Because, like, some of us are living check to check. And, like, you can't
I would
do that,
say
but
3 months is okay. Yeah.
Give yourself some sort of safety
ideal.
Net.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also, like, would talk about this with people in your life. Like, I would be very vocal with your friends and with your family so that they know that you're looking to leave this job, not so that they can save you, but that so that their ears to the ground, that they can try and, like, you know, help you out or however they can. Because this is, like, you know, reinvention is not necessarily an easy thing that you can do all by yourself.
And back to Bryce's point, like, even when you do find something that you love, it's still, there's still going to be aspects of it that feel like work, that feel like a job. Mm. It's not going to be like 100%
four-letter word.
Yeah,
you said it.
A myth that's been sold to people is like, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. It's like, no, you still work every single day.
We shit on this, like, I see this more on Twitter. It's becoming bigger and bigger, being like, no billionaire has ever, like, there's no such thing as, like, a self-made billionaire. Like, you know, no person has ever become a billionaire by being honest. And it is, I do find that a lot of the people who say, like, love what you do and you'll never work a day in your life. Like, I'm like, yeah, you say that because you're, like, Bill Gates. You know what I mean? Right. Like, you have the most money in the world. And it's also, like, the people I know that went to Harvard who are, like, fuck traditional education. You can do it yourself. Like, you know, you had access to the best school, one of the best schools in the world. Like, of course you say that because you don't know what you have. So obviously just, you know, girl, life is crazy. Enjoy that ride. I think
it's always like cisgendered heterosexual white dudes that are like, you don't need the system, you could just come up on your own.
The system they built.
Like that benefits them essentially.
I'm glad I went to college, if not just because of my education, but because I feel like it socialized me in an important way.
My mom, because you know people try and get out of college so fast, they're like, I want to get it done in 2 years, 3 years. My mom was like, you never get those 4 years back. So soak it up. Like, your life will never be like that.
No, you're right. It's so funny. Like, how many, when you're growing up, everyone tells you the whole time, like, you know, make sure you enjoy it while you're here. Like, you're young. It's never going to be different. But, like, of course, I went and got my first job when I was 14. Like, I just, like, I felt adult when I was a child, and like then now that I'm an adult, I think that I've had like sort of a delayed, like I've taken my time growing up because I've been working since I was 12, you know, babysitting and doing shit like that. So,
which I think is also fine. I think it's just like this idea that, you know, we don't give ourselves a break as adults to, I don't know, mess up, figure shit out, because
you know,
of whatever.
Take on a hobby, like don't start a store. Tea. Are you guys ready for some tea time?
I'll tell you this.
Don't start a store like my store, but I'm saying like maybe get a little side hustle going so that you can sort of get a taste of what you like. But guys, I don't want to like, this couple might listen to this podcast and I don't want them to feel alienated, but I feel that I have to gently address something that came up this week that kind of was like, this is something that people need to hear and that it's not okay. So I got an email to my store email the other day, shopslendermommy@gmail.com. That's shopslendermommy@gmail.com. From a guy saying like, hey, I'll read what it says.
Don't forget to submit your calls to Please Advise at 323-450-7408.
I'm like, fuck them. Come to my store. Okay. He wrote back. Oh, he wrote back. Okay. Let's see what this motherfucker has to say today.
Can we get the backstory on what you're talking about?
Yeah, this seems like it's going to be a ride.
So he wrote to me and said, sorry, I'm trying to find the email. Okay. I'll call him Sal.
Okay. My dad's best friend's name, but okay.
So he writes, hi, Slender Mommy. Two words, Slender Mommy. I follow you on Twitter and I've been enjoying your posts. Coincidentally, my wife is setting up her own thrift boutique in insert state here right now and ordering shipments and taking inventory and doing all the fun stuff you've talked about. We're curious to learn about more about your pallet orders from Amazon. How does that work? Any place you can refer me to learn more? Our initial searches seemed vague and uninformative, but the idea sounds amazing. Please let me know if you have a spare moment. Keep kicking butt and enjoy your store. Very cool of you to make it happen. Sincerely, Sal.
I fucking hate, like, can you please point me in the direction of a thing I can easily Google?
So I wrote to him, hey, Kirk. Unfortunately, in the Amazon resale community, the rule of thumb is that you have to figure it out for yourself. There are a lot of YouTube videos you can watch that will help you figure it out. But I've basically said all that I can say without actually physically taking you to a website or auction. The auctions are getting more and more competitive, and I really don't want to flood the market more by basically giving a cheat sheet to the work that I've put in. But there's lots of info out there, and that's how I learned.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
So this is what he writes back to me today.
Oh, no.
Ugh.
I appreciate your candor and your response. Thank you. We wish you the best of we wish you the continued best of luck with your new endeavor. Okay.
Is he a robot? This sounds like it's like how.
Also,
if somebody,
like
if I
hate when people do like a wee,
and I also
and
hate
it's like
when
I know
man,
you're not typing together.
Right.
Like I know you guys aren't like typing.
Ladies, using the right hand.
Listen, ladies out there, this goes to you. Stop fucking letting your significant others write emails for you. I wrote an email to a bitch that did some shit to me. And her boyfriend wrote back to me. And I was like, well, then there it all is, bitch. You can't even speak up for yourself. Why the fuck, Sal, are you writing this for your email? Is she an invalid? What is happening? How is she running the store with no hands? She doesn't even have voice to text? Like, that is just, to me, it fucking pisses me off. It's like, oh, yeah, you want to, trust me, honey.
Wags just got very afraid.
The auctions have already gotten more competitive since I vocalized this store.
Since Malls got in the game.
I've seen it, okay? I've cracked these knuckles. I'm up for the task, okay? If you want to get in on this, I'm pulling some dirty shit in the auctions. I've got timers going all times of the day. So that said... No, I'm not going to tell you how I do this. This is a hustle for me. Why would I ever do that? You didn't
understand. Sal.
Oh, fuck.
I'll edit that out. Yeah.
Do you think that there's drug dealers out there telling people where to go meet people on the pier to go pick up that pure Colombian and then how to chop it up and mix it with other shit? And oh, by the way, here's half my Rolodex. No, Sal, no. That's not how business works. It's called figuring it out for your fucking self. This isn't a pyramid scheme. I'm not going to lease this out to your wife. This is a hustle. And that's the point. So that said, to my friend who wrote this letter to begin with, sorry, I just raged. I just blacked out. I haven't talked about this yet. I think that you need to start dabbling, do a side hustle. I think you need to put in the work on your new gig.
Start saving money.
Do the research, too. Make sure that whatever you pivot to, you know what you're in for. Because you have done 8 years.
Look up salary, mm-hmm. you know,
oh, yeah.
reports.
Let's Google that salary cap.
Yep.
And, yeah.
Indeed is a great resource for that.
Oh, is that
Glass
what that
Door is?
Is
a great resource
store. Glass Door is really good.
Yeah.
But if you are Googling salary caps, don't Google anyone that you're dating, because if you're drunk, you might tell them. all right, let's take another call.
We can wrap this up, I think.
Oh, we are. Okay. Yeah. Guys, that's the end of episode 178 of Please Advise. Oh, yeah, that's been a long time. We're done. You guys, thank you so much for listening. Bryce, people can find you all over the internet on ET. I watch you almost every day, I feel like.
Oh, my God.
But also you're Bryce Sander on Twitter, right?
Yes, BRICESANDER.
And also on Instagram as well.
All across all the socials.
Oh, a Bryce with an I. Okay.
A Bryce with an I, yeah.
Oh, did you think with a Y?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Bryce okay. is too Bryce. We're rebranding is too classy the name. For that. He's way too classy for the Y. All right. Thank you guys for listening. I'll talk to you next week. And thank you for your calls today. Those were fun. I hope everyone's down to stop being emotionally abused.
Lesson of today.
That's cool.
And right. Leave the poop in the toilet, people.
I can't. Oh, my God. Well, I'll be praying for you. I'm like, honestly, that's going to come up in therapy.
She's fine.
Somehow.
She has a new job. Yeah.
I know, but I just feel like there's some latent trauma around there. All right. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.